In our reading from 1 Kings, Elijah, in the previous chapter, has just come down from a mountaintop experience on Mount Carmel. And there, Elijah has a battle with the prophets of Baal. And he wins that battle, or the Lord wins that battle. It's a powerful and humorous story that actually does not appear in our lectionary. So I'd encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 18 later on today. When the false god Baal does not show up, Elijah asks if he stepped out to use the washroom. Elijah unmasks the lies and the deception of this false religion. The true and living God, Yahweh himself, shows up in a consuming fire. People fall on their faces and they confess, Yahweh, he is God. The false prophets are then put to death. Elijah outruns King Ahab, even though King Ahab is in a chariot in a 20-mile race. And when King Ahab tells Queen Jezebel what had happened, they both decide to kill Elijah. So Elijah then runs nearly 100 miles from the northern part of the kingdom to the southern part, to the city of Beersheba. Not only do I admire Elijah's courage to boldly preach the truth to power in the midst of spiritual warfare, I'm also impressed that he is an ultra-marathoner. Elijah continues even after this foot race, another day's journey alone into the wilderness, the same wilderness God's people wandered for 40 years. Elijah's mountaintop experience is now at an all-time low. He has run over 100 miles, hiked for an entire day into the wilderness, and he now tells God that he wishes to die. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. This is called post-adrenaline blues. Athletes and performers talk about it all the time. You can get it from a high school project that you worked on for weeks, or a work project. It's what Winston Churchill refers to when he says, nothing in life is so exhilarating as to be shot at without result. We derive strength from that adrenaline rush, and perhaps some carbs, sugar, and caffeine. But at some point, those natural resources are not enough. And then the low comes. The depression comes. Elijah's battle, however, is not just with mere flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of this dark and evil world through false religion and the misuse of power, namely Ahab and Jezebel. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And trouble has found Elijah, to be sure. He is so physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted that death sounds like a good way out of his misery. Have you been there? Even the Lord's prophet Elijah gets discouraged and feels despair. Even this great man of God, chosen and called by God, is overwhelmed by the exhausting brokenness and evil of this world. And yet I admire Elijah, his courage to pray to God in that darkness, his authenticity, keeping things honest with God, and his humility, naming who he is, not better than his ancestors. He casts his burden upon the Lord in prayer, just as we're supposed to do. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Elijah surrenders himself to God with that prayer. He surrenders himself to God into his spiritual cradle of prayer. He surrenders himself to the physical cradle of sleep, a temporary escape, and a renewing of body and soul. Elijah is quite literally a wonderful forerunner of how we ought to also journey on, how we ought to meet those dark nights of the soul when all seems lost and pointless. It is enough. I'm at my end. I'm at the end of the rope, Lord. We might also boldly cry out to God that same prayer. It is enough. I'm empty of strength and personal resources. Take my life and let it be, as we sing. For those who have been baptized have died to sin. The old self is drowned so that the new creation, Christ in us, can be raised. In Christ, we surrender ourselves to him, our lives. We take upon ourselves our crosses, and we commend ourselves to God, his cradling arms of mercy, body and soul and all things. This is not self-annihilation. It's putting our lives into the loving hands to whom our lives already belong. For the earth is the Lord's, and all that dwell therein. We are not better than our ancestors or those who have come before us either. We have no bragging rights, no righteousness, no self-righteousness to put before God or to pull ourselves up by our own proverbial bootstraps. We are too at the mercy of God, who is good and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy and love. Each night, we also ought to lay our heads down on our pillows like Elijah did, in the sure and certain hope and confidence that those who close their eyelids in Christ will one day open them to God's promise of new and eternal life. Elijah closes his eyes in this dark place. Weeping may have tarried for the night for him, but joy comes in the morning. The angel of the Lord touches Elijah, stirs him awake, and tells him to get up, eat this miraculous bread, and drink this miraculous water prepared for him. Elijah does so. He falls back asleep. The angel of the Lord wakes him up again and says, get up, eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. And certainly, God knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust, as the scriptures say. He knows our weakness, our sinfulness, and our limitations. He knows what our journey ahead entails. He knows what our journey ahead will be, just as he knew what Elijah's journey would be. He knows the mileage. He knows the time. God has numbered our days. He will take us home when it is our time. Today is not Elijah's day. He gives Elijah this miraculous bread and water to strengthen him, body and soul, for another journey for the next 40 days and nights in the wilderness. And that's a detail we often miss, or we ought not miss, that this is the same wilderness that the Israelites wandered for yes, 40 years. That number 40 is another cue for us to think back to Elijah's ancestors and ours in the faith. God is pointing back to the manna, and the water from the rock which flowed and sustained his people through their dark and sinful and difficult journey. And for us, it points ahead to him who says, I am the bread of life. I am the rock from which the water came. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. But whoever eats this bread, they will never die. They will live forever. Do you feel that tap on your shoulder? Do you feel the Lord stirring you out of your slumber, your spiritual slumber, to this new kingdom reality that even Elijah experienced? God knows our struggles. He is a high priest that knows our despair, who even suffered himself on the cross, died and rose again, so that he could offer you and me himself, the bread of heaven. He knows our journey ahead. He knows what tomorrow brings. And he promises to strengthen us, body and soul, unto life everlasting. So get up, take, eat, drink of it, all of you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.